One of the youth and children's leaders opened up the church door, and the giddy kids and teenagers bundled into the church with the usual buzz of uncontrollable excitement. Only this time, they were followed by a line of slightly subdued and honestly fairly reluctant fathers, grandfathers, and father figures who were not quite sure what they'd been roped into this time for the Father's Day Youth Club special. The session begins and the kids are lined up on one side of the large hall with the grown-ups at the opposite end. "What is going on?" asks one dad. "Oh no," says another. "I hope it's not dodgeball. Anything but dodgeball." But no, the instructions for this game are shared by one of the leaders, and it becomes clear. The kids start at one end of the hall and have to put on blindfolds. The middle of the hall is the danger zone, scattered with many obstacles and hazards. The fathers and figures have to stay at the opposite end and guide their young people through the hazards of the danger zone to the allocated safety area at the other end of the hall. But they cannot move or touch them. They can only use their voice to guide them with verbal instructions. And the room is ready. Everyone is hot, contemplating the task ahead. And then, 3, 2, 1, go! And instantly, it is total chaos. The noise is deafening. You can barely hear yourself think. The dads are shouting and screaming, "Forward! Stop! No! Left! The other left!" And then, "Oh, ouch, sorry." 20 minutes later, after 5 games, the same child has won every single game. And the others are just perplexed. So the leaders sit everyone down in the middle and ask the lad that has won every game to share the secret of his success. "Well, it was hard at first," he said, "because there was just so many loud voices, but as soon as I managed to recognize my father's voice, speaking calmly amongst the noise of all the other voices, I was able to just focus on that, lock in. And the more I focused on that one voice, the more the other voices seemed quieter. And it got easier and easier until I could barely even hear the other voices at all. My father's voice just cut through clearly." And life can be a bit like that game, can't it? We might feel something like we're like those young people, blindly stumbling our way through the danger zone of life, with all its trip hazards, its obstacles, and its challenges. Many of those challenges and hazards and obstacles we heard about in our time of sharing family news and prayer requests. And sometimes we don't even really see where we're going at all. We could just stand still and refuse to move. We could forsake the prize at the end of the game in favor of just comfort and avoiding risk. Or we could just ignore everything and find our own way, just stumble around everywhere, banging our shins on every obstacle in the way. And some people do life like that. But if we listen carefully, amongst the other noise of life, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is calmly calling to us, directing us, speak to lead and guide us safely home to shore, to glory ultimately, and also to transformation in this life. Maybe you picked up when Doug read the passage, Galatians 5, that Paul is encouraging his readers to do four things. Walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. And keep in step with the Spirit. And I suggest when you get time, you find those phrases in your paper Bible and or on your digital Bible if you know how, and you highlight them or underline them, because they really do form the foundation and point of reflection for this passage and this message today. Walk by the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Live by the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit. And this passage of Scripture, it also highlights in verse 17 the very challenge that faces those of us who wish to live out those four things, which is that the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. And this conflict between the flesh and Spirit rages to a lesser or greater extent in the hearts and lives of every disciple. It is a battleground of faith and discipleship. And this is also the very area of our transformation from the inside out as we listen more to the voice of the Spirit and less to the flesh. And if you are struggling with this today, with the things of the flesh, then brother, sister, take heart. You are not alone. And that is exactly why we need Christian community. We need the church. We need each other. Together, and only with the daily help, guidance, and power of the Spirit of God flowing in our lives, transformation is possible for all who are in Christ. And whilst the voice of the Spirit is always speaking, are we listening? Are we discerning? The voice of the flesh can compete for our attention, threatening to drown out the voice of God in our lives, just like the raised voices of the other false dads in the game. It can drown out the sound of our true heavenly Father. Do you recognize your heavenly Father's voice amidst the noise? The voice of God, Father, Son, and Spirit. And there are some differences between the voice of the flesh that calls to us and the voice of the Spirit. And I'm just going to offer three key differences between the voice of the flesh and the voice of the Spirit, just to help us to understand and begin to discern. So the first key difference might be this. The voice of the flesh says, put yourself first. Choose what brings most ease and comfort for yourself, even if that comes at another's expense. Look after number one. Survival of the fittest, right? But the voice of the Spirit says, think of others. Even sometimes at your own expense. And we heard earlier an appeal to consider financial giving to the church. So think of others, even sometimes at your own expense. And now the pastor in me wants to add to that, as long as it remains healthy and balanced with your own self-care. And all the time you do this, do it showing love, joy, patience, and kindness. And we read in verse 14, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping the one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Look after the weak and poor. Prioritize survival of the community, not just the fittest or the one. And that's hard for us in modern Western culture, because modern Western culture is very individualist. And we can learn so much from African spirituality, which says it so well with the phrase Ubuntu, I am because we are. That village, I am because we are. Here's a second key difference. The voice of the flesh says suffering, problems, challenges, they should be avoided at all costs, or else they should be met with hostility or hatred or anger and division, because all those things are a big threat to me. But the voice of the Spirit says problems and challenges are opportunities to grow in forbearance, peace, and self-control. The Spirit reminds us from Romans 8, verse 17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Oswald Chambers said, if my ruling disposition is self-interest, I perceive that everything that happens to me is always for or against my self-interest. If, on the other hand, my ruling disposition is obedience to God, I perceive him to be at work for my perfecting in everything that happens to me. The third key difference, the voice of the flesh says, it is better to prioritize earthly and material things. The flesh wants all its good things now in this life. The best car, the best house, the best holidays, the best retirement. The voice of the Spirit says, it is better to prioritize eternal things. Looking forward to heavenly rewards beyond this life, and willing to accept suffering in this life. Not that material things themselves are bad, but being patient for better things to come. Those that have an eternal perspective, looking forward to heavenly things in glory, they will discover two things. First, that heavenly rewards are so far superior to anything the world has to offer that they don't even compare. And secondly, that heavenly treasures don't waste or spoil. So as John Bunyan said in the Pilgrim's Progress, he who enjoys his best things last will enjoy them lastingly. That is, forever. In eternity. You know, the voice that you listen to most, that of the flesh or of the Spirit, the voice that you focus on, that you look into, that will form you. It will transform you as a person, as a community, as a church. As Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18, now the Lord is the Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing joy, ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And me, my experience for the last 2 years, although it's actually been a much longer journey over decades, has been something we call ministerial formation, being formed, shaped, or transformed for something that can be used for God's service. And for me, that has largely been learning to hear the voice of the Spirit and block out the voice of the flesh, just like that game. And over time, that has shaped and changed me in ways that other people have noticed. So you see, we will either walk by the flesh, be led by the flesh, live by the flesh, and keep in step with the flesh, or we will walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. The life of the person or the community or the church that are led by the flesh, we recognize by the acts of the flesh that Doug read for us from verse 19, with its factions, its discord, its dissensions, envy, hatred, self-ambition, all that nasty stuff. We are to put off those things. Instead, the life of the person or the community or the church that are led by the Spirit, who listen to the voice of the Spirit, will be recognized by the fruit of the Spirit, as we read from verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we desire to live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, envying one another. And you probably know this. I'm sure you know this. But just in case you don't, crucifying the flesh is not an easy thing. It's a struggle. Sometimes it's a daily struggle. In fact, most of the time, it's a daily struggle. But it is vitally important, and the rewards far outweigh the cost. It's what Dietrich Bonhoeffer called, in The Cost of Discipleship, costly grace as opposed to cheap grace. So, friends, I wonder, which voice have you been hearing most clearly? The flesh or the Spirit? Have you been able to hear the voice of the Spirit at all? And sometimes, let's be honest, we go through times of spiritual dryness, where the voice of God is rarely heard. It would help you to have somebody pray with you, pray for you. There can be an opportunity for that later in this service. The deacons of this church will offer prayer ministry during the sung worship response in just minutes. But first, let's consider, what are some of the ways that we can focus more on the voice of God and less on the flesh? In other words, that's great, but how do we do it? Well, here's just a few simple ways that I've found really helpful and successful. Read Scripture daily. You want to hear the voice of the Spirit. You want to hear the voice of God. Read Scripture, the Word of God. Times of personal worship in the car, at home, out and about. And times of corporate worship. Daily devotion. Maybe even through silence. Hush the flesh and listening for the voice of God. Times of prayer and prophecy. And let's not forget fellowship with other Christians. Discipling and encouraging one another, whether that's in small groups or however you guys do it. These things can create space for the Spirit to transform us as individuals and as communities of faith as we live out God's call to walk by the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, live by the Spirit, and keep in step with the Spirit. Let's pray together.